following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7 alongside me in the studio 2 days in a row. I don't think the radio airwaves are prepared for this, but Uncle T-Bone back with me in the studio. A special appearance yesterday when we had Justin Quinn from CentiGreen in here. What a great hour that was yesterday to get the show started, but you're back for your normal slot on a Wednesday afternoon. How are you, sir?
Man, I am back, and I am glad to be back. Beautiful day on the plains. Give us a call at 334-321-1390 here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. ESPN Radio 106.7, Auburn Opelika. Jacob, I'm just going to jump right in. So happy to be back. News breaking galore in the ACC-SEC Challenge in basketball is out.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, what a story this is for Auburn. Have you not seen it, folks? In this monumental matchup, Auburn will travel to Cameron Indoor Stadium and take on Duke this year for the first time ever.
Yes.
Tell me your program's not a blue blood, is a blue blood without telling me your program's a blue blood.
Yeah, it is a big, big matchup for Bruce Pearl and Auburn basketball. One that apparently him and John Shire, the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils, have been trying to get put on the books. They've been trying to make this happen, and they were successful in that. And so we're going to talk about that today, talk about the SEC-ACC Challenge games. All of them were announced, all 16 games were announced. We'll go through those. There's some big-time matchups here, but I'm going to be honest, Uncle T, there's some snoozers here. There's some ones that I don't even know if it's worth putting on the radio, putting on the television. I mean, we'll get to those as we go.
Maybe they'll play them on a Tuesday night.
I mean,
when there's nothing else on other than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
I'm telling you, maybe they'll do something to actually get us to tune in. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open today. That begins tomorrow at Pinehurst. Excited for that.
I love it.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be with us. Good to have him back on the show. Get caught up on all things Georgia athletics. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia basketball, the SEC-ACC Challenge. Get caught up on football as we get closer to July with SEC Media Days. We're just about a month away from SEC Media Days, so excited to hear and talk with Jordan Hill. And then, coming up in hour number two, we've got some more Auburn football recruiting news to get to and a whole lot more. As Uncle T-Bone said, phone lines are open. 334-321-1390 is the way to call us. You can also send us a text on the line text box, 334-784-1067. Tell us your favorite SEC-ACC matchup. Want to start hearing those from you? You can send us a text, 334-784-1067. We'll read through them all, and then we'll start reacting to these. First Auburn, and then we'll get through them. This was from John Rothstein. Broke the news about an hour ago. The ACC-SEC Challenge is set per sources and going just top to bottom as he has them, okay? Arkansas at Miami. Cal, yes, Cal, a new SC or ACC member, will be traveling to Missouri. Florida State will take the trip to Baton Rouge. They'll take on LSU. Georgia Tech will now travel to an SEC opponent, Oklahoma, in the SEC-ACC Challenge. Kentucky will make a trip to Clemson. Georgia will host Notre Dame. Ole Miss will go to Louisville. South Carolina on the road at Boston College. Tennessee will host the Syracuse Orange Men. Right? Wake Forest will be at Texas A&M. North Carolina, Chapel Hill, they'll get to host Nate Oates in Alabama. Auburn will be on the road in Cameron Indoor, as Uncle T-Bone said, playing Duke. Pitt will take the trip to Stark Vegas and take on Mississippi State, Texas at NC State, Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech, and Virginia will be on the road in Gainesville. Your thoughts, initial thoughts on all these games, Uncle T-Mone, for the SEC-ACC Challenge.
Best matchups here, without a doubt, Alabama at North Carolina, Auburn at Duke. Clearly, the SEC puts its two best programs right now about what is perennial the best two programs in the ACC. Definitely the most prestigious and some of the most prestigious programs in the history of college basketball. I mean, I'd put North Carolina and Duke right up there in the top five.
Sure.
Probably with some Kentucky, maybe some UCLA, but they've, you know, maybe.
I mean, those are the blue bloods.
Maybe
I mean,
UConn now because of what they're doing. And then you can add Alabama and Nate Oates at North Carolina and all. Auburn with Bruce Pearl at Duke. I mean, there's no other two matchups, no other matchup than those two out of this list that even comes close to the caliber and prestigious. I mean, playing in Cameron is probably playing in one of the, if not the most prestigious places in college basketball.
I mean, it's one of the building blocks.
It's a bucket
of an arena.
List. It's a bucket list for,
sure.
for basketball fans.
I would love to go there.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how many Auburn fans have been to Cameron Indoor. If you have, send us a text or give us a call.
Yeah,
we'd love to
do.
Hear your stories about it. But, man, that's on my bucket list. It's a college basketball fanatic. I mean,
yeah.
Chapel Hill's on there, too. Duke and, of course, going to Allen Fieldhouse for Kansas and going to Assembly Hall for Indiana. Like, those are places that I want to visit as a college basketball fan. But here's what I'll say. I agree with you that – Auburn and Alabama are the two best teams in the SEC going into 2024. Two consensus top 10 teams, best rosters in the league, some of the best teams and rosters in the country. But it's unfortunate that both of our top two teams out of the SEC are having to travel to the two best teams out of the ACC historically, right? The two best matchups that we both agree on, Alabama's on the road and Auburn's on the road, right? You would want to see maybe one of those be split, right? One of those teams be at home, the other team be on the road. I know that's not how that really
works. They're not
going
to send North Carolina or Duke to some rat hole like Coleman Coliseum, Jacob.
You don't think so?
No.
They got to get some renovations.
They're
huh?
going to have to do something about that place.
Imagine
they might send like NC State over there, Virginia Tech.
Well, that's what Auburn got last year when they beat Virginia Tech by 50. But could you imagine? Just picture it. Close your eyes. If you're driving, don't do this. But imagine the Duke Blue
don't.
Devils traveling to Neville Arena. Could in the end of November, non-conference play, you're a month into the season, and here comes John Shire and the Duke Blue Devils inside of Neville Arena. Could you imagine the jungle line outside of that building? It would be lined up for weeks.
Pearlville would be, you know, population 7,200. For a week straight.
At least.
I mean, you can't even – and, yes, I can imagine that happening now with how Auburn's program is and how elevated Bruce Pearl has taken it. Could I imagine that 10 years ago when Bruce Pearl started working at Auburn? No. Heck no. But I can imagine it now. I mean, you're talking about both Auburn and Alabama – that since 2018, either one of those teams has won the SEC tournament championship in the SEC or the regular season championship. I mean, that's strong, Jacob.
And both have made a Final Four.
Both have made a Final Four run. Both have been a mainstay in the college basketball postseason. Both of these teams will be in the top 10 preseason and
mm-hmm.
should be. So, I mean, the level of basketball in this state collegiately is at an all-time high.
Here's what I need to tell people, though, and kind of remind you about this newer SEC-ACC challenge, right? Because for years, it was the SEC-Big 12 challenge, and that was a
right.
that was a competition that was played typically at the end of January, which I personally loved, right? I've had my sayings about that on the airwaves before where I loved the SEC-Big 12 challenge being at the end of January because you get through your non-conference play, you get through a month of SEC play, and then you get to take that break on that Saturday afternoon. all the teams played on the same day, and everybody gets to play, and you just take the weekend off of the brutal conference schedule and have a little fun and go play a big-time game that typically means a lot, right? Imagine if Auburn and Duke were to play in the end of January this upcoming season. That's a team and that's a game that is a legit tournament resume builder. It still will be in the end of November where the SEC-ACC Challenge was played a year ago.
Yeah, you're playing for seeding then.
Right, but the magnitude of that game and the result of that game, I believe, is magnified when it's played in the end of January versus when it's played at the end of November, because I say it all the time. The team you are in November is not the team you're going to be in February and March.
I agree with that.
And so I hate that it gets moved, because then I also feel that this SEC-ACC Challenge is just kind of thrown in with all the other non-conference games. It doesn't have any other special part to it. There's nothing unique about it. It's just, oh, all right, it's another non-conference game. In this past year, they did play them in the middle of the week. I think they did on a Tuesday, Wednesday. They split it up into 2 days. And so while that is something to be reminded of, and that's just my opinion on that, there are some cool games here. And
oh yeah,
the Auburn-Duke game will be phenomenal. I mean, that's going to be so much fun to watch, listen to. If you have the chance to go, you and I were talking before the game. I mean, ticket prices are going to be astronomical. I mean, good luck getting in that place. And that's where Auburn should be. I mean, Auburn has finally gotten to the point in a basketball program where it makes sense for them to take a trip to Duke. You mentioned it. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people would have laughed that Auburn was going to Duke. Duke fans would not be excited about Auburn coming to Cameron Indoor. They would just move right along. But I've already seen Duke fans on social media. They're worried. Of course they gave us Auburn. Of course Bruce Pearl has to come to Cameron Indoor. Of course get the best team from the SEC. Because that's what is happening right now with Auburn basketball.
9,314 seats inside Cameron Indoor Arena, according to the Google. It just doesn't look like it's that big a arena on TV.
Yeah, it doesn't hold much.
It looks tiny.
Yeah, and it's straight up, and they're packed in there like sardines.
I'm going to try and get a quick look up on if there's any type of ticket price out there right now on StubHub.
I highly doubt it.
I seriously doubt it, but I can say one thing about it. I will guarantee you, outside of when they play North Carolina, that will be one of the, if not the highest ticket price for the whole basketball season for Duke, because Auburn fans are going to migrate up there and try and take that over, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a bucket list opportunity, like you said, not just for Auburn basketball fans, but for any fanatic of college basketball. I'd go up there and watch Duke play Cal State Fullerton if I could get a ticket, you know, just to say I've been inside there.
Right.
So, and I've never been in there. I'd love to hear if anybody has. Please give us a ring at 334-321-3. 1390 and describe your experience in Durham, North Carolina, inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's going to be awesome, Jacob.
Yeah.
What an amazing gift. And just again, like you said, the elevation of what Bruce Pearl has done here. In my entire lifetime as a Auburn basketball fan, or just an Auburn fan, I've always wanted Auburn to play Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've just been waiting for this moment. And then to get to go over there, I mean, even if you can't get in the stadium, it might just be worth road tripping over there and partying and hanging out.
Is this the biggest road game that Auburn's ever traveled to? Is this the biggest place that Auburn's ever been to?
Non-tournament?
Yeah, non-tournament, just regular season, biggest game. Is this the biggest?
Gotta be.
And not even the biggest, this maybe the most historical venue that Auburn basketball
has
ever been
played in Pauley Pavilion? Has Auburn ever been to Kansas? Been to Indiana?
Not to my knowledge, but I don't know that 100%. I'll be honest. I don't know that.
I mean, maybe, you know, some game against UAB at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Center, the old BJCC.
Not the BJCC.
Might rival this, but I'm telling you, yes, absolutely. No doubt about it. It's the biggest platform they've ever played on. in the road, most historic, most prestigious place they've ever played outside of a tournament game.
I mean, Auburn, you know, this past year they went to Brooklyn, like they got to play at the Barclays Center and things like that. They've played at some really cool neutral site places, but in terms of just on the road in a hostile environment, I mean, it's legitimately top three in the nation.
I just can't see why I can't see how there's anything like it.
Unless they make a trip to Allen Fieldhouse or they've been to Chapel Hill. It's those three, or Assembly Hall in Indiana.
I mean, look, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, this is Coach K, man. This is the house that he made famous.
Built. Yeah, and I mean, he's been in attendance for a lot of games and things like that.
You know, I love college basketball. I'm not near the fanatic that you are about it, but you know, on a random Monday night when the ACC's playing, and it could be, you know, somebody like Boston College, if they're playing at Duke, I'm going to watch some of it.
Yeah.
Just to see the Cameron Crazies.
The Cameron Crazies. That's right. And the students that, and the process that those students have to go through to get tickets to those games is insane. They have to camp out just to get a ticket, Uncle T-Bone, just to get an opportunity to get into the building.
Sounds like somewhere else I know. Here locally.
Yeah. Well, a lot more games to talk about with the ACC-SEC Challenge. Auburn will make the trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium. They're going to play Duke this upcoming basketball season. Alabama will be in Chapel Hill. They'll take on North Carolina. We'll give you our thoughts on that game and the others on the list as well. We want to hear from you on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You can also text us, 334-784-1067. Talking more college basketball after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Jacob T. This is Terry. How's it going?
What's going on, Terry? It's been a while since we've heard from you.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. I've been listening, always listening.
Good, we appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Guys, am I missing something here? Because a friend of mine just called me and said that Alabama and Auburn, Jordan Hare and Bryant didn't even take it out of the Super 6 thing.
Yeah, that is on the show schedule for today, but you bring it up, so we'll go ahead and get to it for a second. Yes, the AHSAA announced earlier this morning, and I've heard the rumblings about this, the city of Auburn, Opelika, and those are grouped together because of how much both of the cities make together. The cities of Auburn, Opelika.
And work together.
Yeah, I mean, the AO Tourism is one of the best in the country in terms of handling things like that. And then the city of Tuscaloosa, both of those groups of cities have been taken out of circulation for the Super 7, which used to be the Super 6, now Super 7, for high school state football, the championship games, due to the expanded college football playoff, Terry, because if Auburn University or University of Alabama, if they had to host in the first round of the college football playoff, because those first round games are held on campuses now, if they were to host one of the first round college football playoff games, that would coincide and conflict with the Super 7 if the years lined up. And so it was a tough decision, I think, and I don't think the cities are going to be too happy about it because of the money that's no longer going to be coming through, but that is officially from the AHSAA this morning.
Yeah, and you're right, Jacob. The money is going to come through. But my question is this. Where are they going to go to now? I guess Birmingham's going to be in play where the Stallions play maybe?
For right now, everything will stay in Birmingham year after year. Mm. The city of Mobile and the sports authority down there on the Gulf have made it very clear that they would like a look at hosting. I think for a couple of years, you're going to kind of just see the dust settle here, Terry, and in Birmingham over at the Stallion Stadium, right? And I think that's Protective Life. We'll just get the nod, and then a few other cities will step in, like Mobile, perhaps some Montgomery at Crampton Field. I can't believe that would happen, but it probably will over time. What's that?
How about Huntsville?
Huntsville would probably be in play, too. You're going to see a lot of these cities begin to make a move on this and demand it. And quite frankly, I don't think it should just stay in one city in Birmingham. I think that's ridiculous. This is
absolutely
a great, big, ridiculous, beautiful state. There's some wonderful cities here. And it's not right for everyone from South Alabama to have to travel up to Birmingham every year and kiss the Bammerham ring.
Yeah. that's a long way to go, and Huntsville will do me further.
Yeah, Huntsville. And you know, that could be the argument for it not going to Mobile. I mean, think about the schools in North Alabama. I'm thinking from where I'm from, in Florence and Muscle Shoals, that area. I mean, man, that's a hike to drive all the way down to Mobile. You could borderline take a flight.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, Jacob. That's a good eight-hour drive or so.
I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I mean, you're legitimately driving across the state from top to bottom. And so, yeah, that was a big news today. And, again, I had heard that it was coming, but I didn't know that news was dropping today. And it's a shame. It is. It's a shame for Auburn and for Tuscaloosa because –
and personally speaking for Auburn, recruiting, it was a chance to have a lot of these recruits on campus for an extra time.
Yep.
And get that out of the way too, and that's going to be big. Nick Saban made a big deal out of that.
Yes, he did.
The last time that Auburn University hosted was in 2022. It's a real shame. It's a real shame, Terry, with what Hugh Freeze and this staff has done and the momentum that they've built, that they're going that Tuscaloosa is going to get the last shot at hosting this over them.
That is, you're right. You're right, T-Bone. That is a shame. You're right. I know, I just heard that, and I find that a little hard to believe, but you're right. Jacob, you make a great point. The cities of Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa's, 40, 50 miles from Birmingham?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's within earshot, yeah.
And Opelika, Auburn, you stay there, just, you know, and then, you know, Alex City, Dave launches right up the road. I'm new to the area, so I'm learning myself. Montgomery, the state's capital, just right over the hill here.
Yeah.
Mike Rowe's growing like crazy. So you just wonder what kind of economic impact.
Oh, I'm telling you, Terry, from what I've been told, numbers out there exceed for the cities that host the AHSAA over $8 million in tax revenue will now be gone on
years. T-Bone, I came from Talladega, and on race day, Talladega became like the eighth largest city in the state or something, just on race day.
And this is not just one day, right? The Super 7 is it's a
week-long
event. Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call, man. 334-321-1390 on the phone lines. You can also text us 334-784-1067. And it was later in the show, but I'm glad he brings it up because it
right.
is big news. I mean, that's
news.
Big local news.
I mean, we probably could have led with that had
we could
it not
have.
Been the basketball news. $8 million in revenueable tax and upwards and growing every time because the event's growing every time. That's hotel rooms now that won't be rented, restaurants that will miss out on this in Auburn, Opelika, and the surrounding area, VRBOs, Airbnbs, gas, groceries, you name it, it's gone. Alvin Briggs over there at the AHSAA announces it today. We are grateful to the cities of Tuscaloosa, Auburn, and Opelika, but you're out.
Yeah.
We're just taking it to Birmingham, and that's where it's going to stay.
And, you know, you have to feel for the AHSAA to a certain extent because they are put in a tough spot here. Because think about it. Let's say that it's in Tuscaloosa this year. Let's say that Auburn makes it to the college football playoff next year, and they're in the first round, and they're hosting a college football playoff game inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. And it is the same day as one of the days of the AHSAA Super 7. Guess what Auburn's going to do? Auburn's going to tell the AHSAA to kick rocks, and they're going to say, yeah, we got a playoff game here. We got a lot more riding
though,
on this.
This wasn't the game. The games were in Tuscaloosa last year. No, they were in Auburn last year. Right?
Hold on. I'm racking my
brain.
Or
were they in Tuscaloosa?
It was in Tuscaloosa, is that right?
So they were doing a rotation of 1 year in Auburn, Opelika.
Birmingham got thrown into the mix,
remember?
1 year
in Tuscaloosa, and then the new stadium in Birmingham started handling a lot of the games. Birmingham really kind of got thrown to the wolves because Legion Field was so bad. It was another reason they wanted to build a new football stadium there, not just for UAB, but for events like this.
Yeah, 2023 was in Tuscaloosa because the year before was when Auburn hosted it.
Okay, so 22 was Auburn.
When Auburn High was in it, remember? And the buzz around this place was
incredible. So it was Birmingham.
Incredible.
It was Birmingham's year on the rotation anyway. It made the decision a little bit easier for the AHSAA, right? I mean, it's going to be in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Go ahead and be in Birmingham this year. And
moving
so
forward,
moving
yeah.
forward, it's yeah. like, look – there has to be a solution. I can't believe that there's no solution here. The high school season starts so early, Jacob.
August 22nd for most teams.
When does it finish up?
The regular season will finish in early November because you remember last year for the Super 7 and around state playoffs, they were playing playoff games the Friday after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving. They were playing playoff games.
Interesting. I guess the playoffs extend it so much further that there's college football happening at both of these cities, and then now the possibility of the college football playoff and a hosting team. And then if it happens at Tuscaloosa, they're out. You're going to have to find a new venue, sorry.
Because the Super 7 typically takes place that first week of December, which is when the first round of the college football playoff is.
Well, I mean, it's a real shame. I mean, that's going to be a painful loss of revenue that people were probably penciling in over at the city for next year.
And for years to come. For one that they've banked on for a long time. And
they're going to have to they cannot just keep that in Birmingham. That's ridiculous.
Not to mention, we got more to say. Got more to say on this. We'll get to it later on. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joins us coming up next.
With Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goertz with you on ESPN 106.7. And excited to get to the phone lines to get this guy back on the show. It's been a little bit with everything going on. It's summertime, so people are moving around. And, of course, lightning hits the building sometimes and knocks out everything. And it just kind of gets crazy sometimes. But it's exciting to have our friend Jordan Hill from Dogs 247, our Georgia beat writer, joining us on the phone lines. Jordan, how are you, man? And you doing okay over there in Athens?
Yeah, doing great. Trying to enjoy what, in theory is the slow time of year. Usually winds up not being so slow. But, glad to check back in with y'all and excited to catch up a little bit.
Well, as we approach the middle of June, which is a crazy thought in and itself, what can you tell us that's been going on in the offseason since the spring has ended and summer has begun for Kirby Smart and the Georgia football program? Give us a few updates on what you can and what you know that's been going on over the last few weeks.
I think the biggest thing is you've got the current players, working off on their own, trying to get ready once, they'll be here before you know it as far as fall camp. I think it's been probably 3 weeks or so. Carson Beck and some of those guys, I think it might have been Dylan Bell, one of the receivers, posted a photo of Carson and him and a couple other teammates out. You could tell they had been working on their own, getting settled in for, what I think could be a really productive season for this offense. And then really besides that, Georgia went and added another defensive back, Colin Gill. He was an Oregon transfer. Looked like he was going to go to Temple, and Georgia slides in and offers him an opportunity. So I think that's really a boost more so for the star position, give them a little bit more depth in the secondary. And, really besides that, it's all been recruiting. Georgia has been super productive. In the last week, they've added four commits to the 2025 class. There was a very small period of time where, we had people over on the junkyard on our message board being worried, should we worry about this class? How good is this class going to be? Give it time on Kirby Smart and company. You look now, Georgia has the fourth best class in the nation per 24/7 Sports. And truthfully, I think it's only going to go up from there.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 247. Jordan, let me run something by you. Yesterday, we had a special guest in studio, one of our local business leaders at Sensagreen for air that's cool and clean, by the way, that has that came in for an hour. And he is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but has made a business down here on the Plains. We asked him about college football moving forward. He's a big pro fan. I said, if you could say one thing, one prediction this next season for college football, what would it be? And he said, what's a scary thought? Is a ticked off Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs for not making the college football playoffs last season and being left out. They're going to make some people pay. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'd agree. And I think the biggest thing is, they obviously wanted to make the playoff. They wanted to win a championship. But you want to talk about easy offseason fodder and easy workout and once they get into fall camp, that's going to be brought up. I feel pretty confident that Kirby Smart is going to remind that crew that, hey, had a shot at 3 in a row and didn't do it. And I know when that's really going to resonate is when Georgia is getting ready to go to Tuscaloosa. They're going to be playing an Alabama team that looks super different than the one that beat them in Atlanta back in December. So No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Kirby has shown he knows exactly what buttons to push with any team. You know, one that hasn't won a championship, one that's coming off of a championship. I would agree with him. It's not a great idea to give Kirby something to motivate his players, because typically he knows just what to say and is able to put them in positions to succeed.
I can guarantee a spot that it's going to be brought up to, Jordan, is in about a month from now in Dallas, Texas, when SEC Media Days rolls around.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that it's going to be brought up a few times. I'll be watching to see if we have someone else tell Kirby that they're going 5-7 or 7-5. I can't remember if someone did that at the last one. I wouldn't suggest that, but maybe someone gets creative and does it.
Jordan, I'd say that most people are going to have Georgia number one in their preseason polls. Looking over this schedule, though, and we've been doing a lot of that leading up to SEC Media Days and will continue until toe hits leather Labor Day weekend, this is no cakewalk. We counted, five legitimate teams, including, if you put Georgia in there, six teams, including Georgia in their schedule, that could easily make the college football playoff. Looking over this schedule, is there a team outside of those major teams, do you think, that could catch Georgia at the right time and possibly upset them?
You know, looking at the teams that I think we would say, okay, you feel pretty good they could make the playoff, like Clemson, like Alabama, like Ole Miss, like Texas. If we're talking sort of outside of those teams, I would say Tennessee really interests me. Now, it does help Georgia that game is going to be in Athens. But, you know, having a new quarterback, a five-star, they've got a really good edge rusher. You know, I always look for, and it will be a little different this year because you don't have the divisions, but pretty much every time I've gone into the year these last few years, you know, there's always sort of that number two team. Everyone has figured out, okay, they feel confident Georgia's going to win the East. Who's going to finish second? And usually it's not who you expect. And, you know, again, the division structure is out. But Tennessee's a team that I think has the potential to sneak up, and you know, maybe they don't make the playoff, but I think they could be really good again if Nico winds up playing really well as a redshirt freshman. So if we're sort of talking outside of those main teams, you know, I would say just across the board that at Texas game to me would be the one, if I was a Georgia fan, would concern me the most. But outside of those, that Tennessee game, I think that's November. You know, you're going to be dealing with injuries. You're going to be worn out at that point in the season. That's the one that really interests me. And if I'm remembering correctly, the last time Tennessee beat Georgia, it was in Athens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about that Tennessee game, Jordan, is it's one of those flex times as of right now. We learned a lot of that this week from the SEC and, of course, with their new partnership with ESPN and ABC. Georgia, when you look up and down that schedule, they're one of the teams that you know more game times for them than just about anybody, right? The opener versus Clemson is the noon time slot. You've got Tennessee Tech at 2. You've got the Kentucky game on the road for Georgia to open up at 7:30. I believe those are Eastern time. Jordan, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That's right.
Okay, and then at Alabama on September 28th, that's a 7:30 game. Just going through the schedule here for our listeners. The Auburn game hosting Hugh Freeze and the Tigers on October 5th, that's a flex time. Mississippi State, that's a flex time. At Texas, that's a flex time, which means it's either afternoon or the night game. The game against Florida, that'll be a 3:30 game. Ole Miss, Tennessee are both flexes. UMass, 12:45, and then Georgia Tech at the end at 7:30. I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of easy game times for Georgia, whether it be at home or on the road. Jordan, what do you think about the schedule so far and what those game times could look like?
I know the biggest thing is that fans are super excited. There's not a ton of early games. You got Clemson at noon, which, you know, even tailgating for that game in Mercedes-Benz, that's a little bit of a different animal compared to trying to do it in Samford. And then the other game, you know, they got two games before 1 o'clock Eastern. It's that game and it's UMass. And so, you know, I think Georgia fans are pretty excited about that. I think it was 2 years ago that they didn't have a single night game in Sanford Stadium. And, you know, a lot of the times we've seen so far are road games. But, you know, I think fans are excited to go to Bryant-Denny and play that one at night. You know, I think fans look forward to having a little bit of free time before the game, I guess I could say. You know, you can get up to whatever you want to before, you know, it's a little bit harder to do that when you got a noon kick. But I think fans are pretty excited, and I will say I do appreciate the thinking and trying to get those early games set up and have those kickoffs set. We still don't know on some of those, like Texas, like you mentioned, and like Auburn. But I will say I appreciate the fact the SEC has sort of lined that up a little bit. We got a better feel in June for what this is going to look like compared to most years, where you probably know the first two or three weeks, and then you're just sort of waiting and seeing what gets decided with CBS.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us here on ESPN 106.7. Talk about a tough stretch. There's a bye week squeezed in here, but at Kentucky at night, at Alabama at night, and then you host Auburn in the beginning of October. I mean, that's a tough stretch, but I'm not buying into Kentucky anymore, Jordan. I've fallen into that trap too many years saying that Kentucky's going to upset them, and it never happens. And so until it does, I'm not going to buy into that. On the recruiting side, really quick, what is it that Georgia has been doing other than, you know, competing for national championships, where they were, it seemed like they were struggling, like you brought that up, that the fans were a little concerned, but then all of a sudden this week they turned on the Jets, and I assume they're going to continue to do that.
Definitely. We're all kind of just sitting and waiting, because you pretty much know this time of year you might see another commitment before you know it. But no, I mean, I think Georgia at this point is just really settled in with how it's going to recruit kids. And I think that their messaging is pretty straightforward. I think that they do a good job when we talk to these kids, when we talk to their high school coaches, you know, they talk about the connections with the coaching staff. And, you know, I do think that there were some questions going into this year, because Georgia had a lot of staff turnover in this offseason. So getting guys that were going through and recruiting for the first time for Georgia, like a Josh Crawford, like a T-Rob, even though, you know, we know he can recruit well, seeing him do it with the Bulldogs a little bit different, getting James Coley back, a guy that's been at Georgia before. So I think there were some question marks on that front, but I think you've seen that, you know, Kirby's got a pretty consistent message, and he's not going to hire guys that he doesn't trust to recruit. And they've done a really good job getting some big-time names in the last few days: Zayden Walker, Todd Robinson, Christian Garrett, a guy that Clemson really wanted from just down the road in Bogart, Georgia. So they have done a very good job, and I think it's one of those things, you know, when there's not any football going on, people start to panic, people start looking at the team rankings and worrying about what's coming. Kirby Smart and company, they've pretty much proven just wait. You know, if you think the numbers don't look good, just wait. We've still got several months before December. And they are proving that they are still on top of their game and continuing to add big-time talent to Athens.
Jordy, moving over to basketball, the 2024 ACC-SEC Challenge is set. Notre Dame will visit Georgia. Does that move the needle for you?
A little bit. I will say it's a little disappointing, because Georgia and Notre Dame played just a few years ago in Mike White's first season.
Yeah.
They had a neutral site game in Atlanta State Farm Arena.
Was that so when Notre Dame made the NCAA tournament and took out Alabama in the first round or second round?
They were actually really bad that year. It was the coaches last year, so
yeah,
it wasn't as entertaining of a matchup. But I will say, I do like this Notre Dame team. You know, the first-year head coach who just got done, that they hired from Penn State, wasn't a great first season, but they kind of turned it on late, beat Clemson, beat Wake Forest. So from that standpoint, I do like it. Again, I always like seeing different matchups, teams we haven't seen in a while, even, you know, like us getting ready to watch Auburn and Duke. I mean, I think that'll be an awesome matchup. So it is pretty cool for the game to be in Stegman. But just the fact that it's not been that long since Georgia and Notre Dame have played, to me, it takes a little bit of it away from it.
If you could speak for the Georgia fans here, Jordan, if they could handpick a couple of ACC squads that they would want to play in this challenge in the upcoming years, whether it be on the road or there in Athens, who do you think those teams would be in terms of what Georgia fans want to see out of this challenge moving forward?
I think a pretty obvious one would be from the football side is Clemson. And off the top of my head, I can't remember the last time they played basketball. Now, you might not want to play them right after the run they just had, but it is pretty interesting. They got R.J. Godfrey over from Clemson, so that would make things interesting. I've always thought Georgia and NC State made sense as a series you could see in basketball, you know, and it would be a fun one after this past year. So, you know, when I was looking at this SEC-ACC challenge, you know, I kind of looked to like a Louisville, a Pitt, one of those teams that could match up and would make sense for Georgia. So There's a few, you know. I know that Georgia's not at the level where they're pulling a Duke or they're pulling, you know, a North Carolina. But there's definitely some good matchups. And I even enjoyed last year Georgia going to Florida State. I thought that that matchup made a lot of sense and wound up being a really good game. Georgia fell down by like 16 and came back and wound up winning that thing.
Yeah, they had a heck of a comeback in that game and made it really fun down the stretch and gave the SEC one of their wins, right?
Right, right. Justin Hill hits a buzzer beater to make it, I think it was a one-point win for Georgia. It wound up being a big deal, and it was a game that Georgia kept pointing back to when things got rough. Was like, hey, you know, we've had a rough stretch here, but you know, we fought back, and I do think that helped that team down the stretch, having won that game in Tallahassee.
Well, Georgia will be playing Notre Dame, playing host to Notre Dame for the SEC-ACC Challenge. One more thing before we let you get out of here, Jordan. I know you are focused on the football-basketball side of things over there at Dogs 247, but it's hard to deny what Georgia baseball was able to do in hosting a Super Regional there in Athens, falling short to NC State, but what a run for the Dogs, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, I know some fans were disappointed in how it ended up, you know, didn't have a chance to win that Game 3, but I think anyone would take that first season from Wes Johnson. They did an outstanding job, had a great season. Charlie Condon, you know, now getting ready to maybe be the number one overall pick in the draft. So a lot to be excited for. You know, I think fans are ready to see if they're able to up their pitching. I think that that kind of held them back at times, and you saw that in a couple of the games against NC State. But definitely a lot to be excited for, and it was definitely neat for Georgia to be at that point. I mean, that was the first time that Georgia has played in a Super Regional in 16 years. So a lot to be excited for, and I'd say that was good ammunition and good momentum for Wes Johnson as he gets ready for his second season.
And I think that just continues to move the needle for the Georgia Athletics Department, not just football, but basketball continuing to get better under Mike White. And yeah, now baseball getting back to hosting a Super Regional. Good things happening over in Athens, Georgia. We're talking with Jordan Hill from Dogs 247. He is our go-to Georgia guy with Dogs 247. Man, we appreciate you and your time as always. Plug everything. Tell people where they can find you and all your wonderful coverage.
I appreciate that. Dogs247.com on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. So, yeah, the offseason's rolling right along. I know we'll probably turn around here before you know it, and we'll be in Dallas for SEC Media Days. But definitely plenty to still write about getting ready for this upcoming season. And like I said, the recruiting is just going nonstop, and I would not be surprised if we're covering a few more commitments by the time the week is said and done.
Awesome. And, hey, you are confirmed going to be in Dallas, huh?
That's the plan.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely link up then. We'll talk between now and then as well. Jordan, have a great rest of your week, man. We appreciate your time as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joining us on the phone lines. Man, always fun talking to him. Great things going on. A lot of things going on in Athens, Georgia. Uncle T-Bone, before we get to a break, let's remind the fans, we're a couple of days away. Let's remind them what's going on this coming up Friday.
Yeah, that's right, Jacob. Come join us this Friday at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek Road as ESPN 106.7 will be live on location, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. Sensegreen, for air that's cool and clean, call Sensegreen. On the line in the drive, live outside on the patio at Moe's Bent Creek from 2 to 6. Moe's will have $3 Bushwhackers from 4 to 9 and live music from Jake Harrelson starting at 8:30. So come on out. Get on out there. Andy, you know you got to be out there. 2 to 6, we'll be covering the U.S. Open Golf Tournament, along with the biggest news in Auburn athletics. I bet we have some big news by then with the way recruiting's going.
I'm telling you what.
Come out and be a part of the fun with ESPN 106.7 at the Bent Creek location of Moe's Original Barbecue. That's not in downtown, even though that's a great place too. It's Bent Creek Road this Friday from 2 to 6, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. For air that's cool and clean, call Sensegreen.
There you go. Let's take our final break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one quickly, and we'll launch ourselves into hour number two. That's coming up on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Got a couple of minutes here left in hour number one. We went long in the first, or the last segment, I guess. That's all right, though. That's all right. It happens. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, we appreciate him joining us. Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks, but how about that? Georgia fans were They were a little worried over there in Athens about recruiting, where Georgia almost fell outside the top 10, but that didn't last very long, Uncle T-Bone. They were able to land, just four or five commitments in a week and just jump right back up in the rankings. And that's pretty much all she wrote on that. Georgia inside the top five.
Well, first of all, you could just kind of feel the intensity, aren't we? Just getting a little bit closer every day to college football. And you can tell that
80 days away
from
Auburn.
You can tell that Jordan's starting to feel it. And here in about a month, it's going to be on. So that's great. It's almost here, buddy. But, yeah, I mean, look, you know that Kirby Smart, as long as he's at Georgia, they're going to get their players.
Yeah.
I mean, he's set up this recruiting infrastructure over there, modeled it after what Nick Saban did at Alabama. Alabama continues to recruit strong after Saban leaves, and you knew that they would unless you just had zero common sense because of the recruiting infrastructure he left Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
Far stronger. And, you know, people were calling him the Husky Harsin and stuff. I mean, not defending Brian Harsin here, but he inherited a crap sandwich of recruiting infrastructure compared to what the Washington coach moving to Alabama did. And Kirby Smart's doing the same thing over at Georgia, so they're going to be fine. It's just going to be a little bit tougher, and there's going to be some other teams in that top 10 they hadn't seen in a while because of the NIL.
We'll talk about that as we get into hour number two. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Text us as well, 334-784-1067. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two. Hour number one flew by, man. Absolutely flew by as we were talking Auburn basketball, SEC basketball. Got more things to get to on that here in hour number two. And we also talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Got some updates from Athens. It's been a little bit, and we talked about Georgia football, basketball, and baseball. So that was all in hour number one. If you missed it, you can catch up with the podcast. You know where to find it at this point, don't you? ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Here in hour number two, I want to talk some Auburn football recruiting and kind of get some of our thoughts about the state of it and where it came from, where it's at, and where it's going. So we'll have that for you in this hour. Plus, we talked some in this in hour one, more here in hour two, the SEC-ACC Challenge for basketball. Those matchups have been released. If you missed it, Auburn will travel to Duke to take on the Blue Devils in Cameron Indoor Stadium. Excited to break that down a little bit more and some of the other matchups. And I think we still have some more thoughts on the Super 7 stuff. So that's all going to be here in hour number two. Plus, whatever's on your mind, you can give us a call on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Call that number. You can get on the air. If you don't want to be on the air, but you want to get your thoughts out on the air, right? Comments, questions, concerns, whatever that case may be. You can also text us in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Tell us who you are and where you're from. We'd love to hear from you. Uncle T-Bone, you alluded to it there at the end of the first hour in terms of Auburn recruiting, Georgia recruiting, Alabama recruiting, right? And as we sit here in almost the middle of June in 2024, how things have changed in the last 3 years. And look at this for a second. I know we know this, but I want to bring it to light again.
Okay.
In the last 3 years, we have seen Georgia become the most dominant program in college football, winning championships, recruiting at the highest level, being, no pun intended, the top dogs. We've also seen Auburn who went through the worst head coach in its history of the program, who took over, this is what you alluded to, who took over a bad recruiting situation and somehow made it worse.
Way worse.
And we also saw Alabama go from top dog and having the best coach in college football and them being the kings of recruiting to now being one of the biggest wild cards in recruiting. They've done well so far, but the future of that recruiting, or I guess the future of that program in recruiting, is up in the air. That's a lot of changes in the last 3 to 4 years, Uncle T. I mean, that's a lot of big things that are in rotation right now that have not, that are not the same as they were just a handful of years ago.
I think that, let's start with Alabama first. I think that Nick Saban built the perhaps the greatest recruiting infrastructure in the history of college football. And that's why so many teams were trying to hire his disciples for so long.
Because they've all been successful.
It wasn't just that they were, you know, sound coaches, X's and O's guys. Very few of them even have come close to living up to the expectation. Mm-hmm. Not of the level of Nick Saban, just the expectation of their hiring. Kirby Smart most definitely has. And I think that Lane Kiffin is beginning to. He's doing it his way, though, but he did take a lot of what I think Nick Saban does recruiting-wise and hiring somebody like Pete Golding. Whether you like him or not, Alabama fans, that guy knows recruiting. He recruits in that front seven defensively as good as anybody. But nevertheless, Nick built this just monster. And I'm not saying it's anything nefarious, but, I mean, it was just where everyone, not just in that program, but associated with that program, from boosters to high-level fans, were involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
He made it the lifeblood. It's the most important thing to their program is recruiting 24/7, 365. Okay? That machine is going to continue to live on. Alabama folks did it for so long under Nick Saban. They got this. And Kalen DeBoer has done a good enough job of coming in and saying, I'm going to put my stamp on things. I'm going to do some things a little bit differently, like we're going to have live music at practice and stuff like that. But he had enough sense not to turn his back on what was left to him, whether he liked it or not, like Brian Harsin did, and say, oh, I got this. I know better. Get out of my way. I'm going to do it my way.
Which was a disaster.
A complete disaster. So, you know, I don't know if Alabama is as much a wild card. I think DeBoer's the wild card, right?
That's a fair way to put it.
Their infrastructure, you know, no one's going to hardly live up to the level of recruiting that Nick Saban did, except perhaps Kirby Smart and just a few very other people. And NIL's changed things, and the wild card of the transfer portal's changed things. We could just keep, you know, everyone knows that story. We're not going to go back into it. But, you know, it's just too important. Football's too important in Tuscaloosa for their people to allow any coach, whether it's Kalen DeBoer or somebody else that comes in after Nick Saban, to fall flat on their face.
Well, you bring up an interesting perspective there, because while Nick Saban did build what seems to be an indestructible object, I don't know the word there, indestructible force of recruiting at Alabama, all it takes is for somebody like a Brian Harsin to step in and say, yeah, I know that worked for you, but that's not going to work for me. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way that I see fit. Here's the difference, though. Brian Harsin, right, he stepped into an Auburn recruiting situation that was already getting bad with Gus Malzahn, who gave up down the stretch.
I feel like he was, too.
And he stepped in and tried to do the Nick Saban way of, hey, this is my program, I'm going to do it my way. Because if you remember, that's what Nick Saban did when he stepped into Alabama. And it worked, right? But Auburn,
he had a little bit more championship equity.
Exactly. He had a lot more of a reputation and had some results to back him up.
When he stepped in at Alabama, too, that program was completely in desperate times.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to turn to him, and the only way he was going to come up there is say, give me the keys. And even that first year or two, there were powerful people up there, if you'll remember, Jacob, that he had to call out for calling, like, on his offensive coordinator, Majel Applewhite, the first season, who wasn't who some powerful people didn't think was doing a good enough job. And he got on a press conference and said, stop talking to my people, basically, or I'm out of here.
Which, and they stopped. Yeah, at the time, it's bold, right? There's another word you could throw in there, but it's bold. And you're right, though. Nick Saban
But he's not only one of the only people that could ever do that.
Though. Correct, which is why Alabama let it happen, right?
Sure.
With Brian Harsin at Auburn, Brian Harsin didn't have squat. He had nothing. He had some wins at Boise State and a conversation with a man in a hot springs, right? That's what he had. And so he steps in.
That's putting it nicely.
And comes in and says, yeah, this is my way. We're going to do it. And Auburn let him do it.
I think that...
And that was where things went wrong.
I think that people who were involved at Auburn in the recruiting infrastructure that any successful big-time university must have, even in today's NIL world, and the things that have changed, even in today's world, you have to have a foundation of sound recruiting and ways to make it happen. I don't know exactly what those ways are, but you must. And when he came in, it was such an odd hire. A lot of those people were already beginning to feel fatigue from the last couple of years of Malzahn, who was either unwilling or incapable to build and react positively in any type of recruiting infrastructure. He's just such an oddball, I think, and just was it at the and had a complete safety net of finances too. So he didn't really have fire me, right? And you know, these powerful people that help in these things and know how things work were already I guess on shaky ice with their belief in what Auburn was doing. And then they bring in Harsin and they're like, well, all right, well, I think we'll try and give him a chance. And almost immediately the guy just blows it relationship wise.
It was a,
with
it
the
was,
folks that matter. And yeah. They're like, fine, bud, you can be Burger King, have it your way. And they took a massive step back and refused to help. And I don't blame them. And he thought he had it and he didn't have it.
Yeah. And that's the problem too, was there were so many things by so many people that were mishandled in that entire time that he was here. But that's what I'm getting at, is Nick Saban did it at Alabama. They knew it was going to work eventually. They gave in and knew it was going to work, and it did. With Brian Harsin at Auburn, he came in and tried to do that. Auburn eventually let it happen, and it fell flat on its face. The difference, though, now with Kalen DeBoer at Alabama is if he were to walk in, and I don't think he's doing this, but if he were to have walked in, he's made some changes, there's no doubt, and said, look, what Saban did was cool. I mean, yeah, it worked, but I have my way in Washington and Seattle. I'm going to do it my way in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's going to say, uh-uh.
No,
we don't
sir.
Think so. That's the difference, yeah. Right? And so for Kalen DeBoer to get the Brian Harsin comparisons and to be Harsin 2.0 and Kalen Harsin or Brian DeBoer, whatever you want to call it, right, whatever people want to say, and this is a lot of Auburn fans now, that's the difference. Alabama will not let that happen. They will not let one man in a year and a half's time drag their program through the worst years they've ever seen. They won't let it happen. That's the difference.
Absolutely, they won't. And I'm going to tell you, though, I want to believe, and I do believe, that as long as Auburn will let Hugh Freeze not just rebuild the program, but rebuild the recruiting infrastructure that you must have to be successful at this level, which he is doing. This is a total rebuild, and when people say that, it's not just, oh, we're going to get some players in here, and it's going to take a few years.
It's not just a term.
This is a psychological total rebuild as well.
That's a really good point.
And if they will allow him to do his thing and do it his way, no matter what the results the first 3 years, and I think that's how long it's going to take to really get it back right, and allow him to continue to build it, that one day when he leaves, Auburn folks will be like, okay, that worked. Hey, guy, you're coming in. You can have some leeway, and you can do some things your way, but this works, and this is going to continue to go on, or you're not coming here.
And Hugh Freeze is in a unique position, too, because he's walking into what was a disaster, right?
Total.
What was a horrific scene. It was a slaughtered crime scene that he walked into. And he also is walking into a big-name program, one of the most historic programs in college football. He's walking into that and walked into that in this new era of college football with all the things we talk about, NIL, transfer portal, yada, yada, yada. So he is in a unique but also very opportunistic position.
Yes.
Because if he finds a way, and I've been saying this, not just about him, but for any coach right now in 2024 and beyond that finds a way to master recruiting in this day and age the way that Nick Saban did starting 15 years ago, the coaches that figure it out right now can be great forever. Because of the way the game is changing. And Hugh Freeze has a chance to do that. I'm not saying he will be. Sure. I'm not saying he's going to be the next coming of Jesus. But I am saying that he's doing things the right way. How many headlines do you read right now and hear right now that Auburn moving up the list of top player X? Auburn in the top three of player Y after leaving campus? Auburn in the lead for this guy and this guy and this guy? Those are headlines we have not seen in years here. Because Hugh Freeze is figuring it out.
Auburn's red hot in recruiting and got that sizzle name to them right now. And it's probably been realistically since definitely when Muschamp and Treverius Robinson were recruiting here, but probably more along the lines of 2017 where they were getting that kind of momentum. In the last couple of years, like you mentioned, of Malzahn were when all those players had come off the roster. Mm-hmm. And they didn't build that momentum like you must build and maintain and make sustainable year after year in recruiting. And that's why the program got in the shape it was, and then it got even worse when Harsin came in. Here are my thoughts. If Hugh Freeze had come to Auburn, say, in his first season was 1993, like when Terry Bowden took over, but maybe the talent was like what Harsin left him, this would be a 7 to 10 year rebuild in today's college football world. It would take forever to get the program the way Harsin left it back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Get it back up to speed.
You're saying then it would take a lot longer.
Yeah, sure. There's no portal. There's no mechanism for paying. You know, it would have just been the Tennessee from Dooley to Butch Jones.
And that's
to
the question,
whoever.
Too, is would you have given a coach that long back then? Probably not. I think coaches got a little bit more of a leash back then.
They did.
But they didn't get the 2 or 3 year boot that they get now.
Without all the mechanisms that you have now to acquire talent, had Harsin, the way Harsin left the program, honestly, the worst I've ever seen it in my fandom in Auburn football. Maybe perhaps going back to the 50s before Shug took over, bad. I mean, this is bad, bad. It would have taken forever. And Auburn fans would have been looking for a bridge to jump off of. But there's upward mobility for all programs that are willing right now to establish a true and solid NIL. And you get a good young coach who knows, or an old savvy veteran like Hugh Freeze, who I think is willing over the next 10 years, and I think it's about how long you're going to have him, to absolutely rebuild everything at Auburn in the football program and leave it on solid ground to turn it over to somebody like DJ Durkin, just an example, a young guy who gets it and knows where the game's going. That's what Alabama's hoping they're doing right now, right? And they think they've done it, and they might have. They had old savvy veteran.
I promise you that.
Who's just left that place in an amazing shape. The best possible shape probably a program could be left in, maybe in the history of the SEC. I mean, name a better program, what was left in the last 30 years. Most of the time when you're getting a new coach, it's either they were pushed out because they'd gotten bad or they got canned.
Yeah, or they left because their time was done, right?
This guy left when the time was done, but he left it in fantastic shape. And they went and got a younger guy who's had a lot of success that they believe in to continue that tradition and momentum. Time will tell, but football is way too important up there for them just to be a wild card, in my opinion.
And they're not. Again,
they're going to be a player.
They're not going to let it happen. They're not going to let that slip out of their fingertips. As long as they
absolutely
can control
not.
It, they will not let it happen.
It's going to take some bad beats. It's going to take a couple other programs stepping up, especially this one in state in Auburn.
You better believe it.
And trying to say, that's it, we're coming for you, and taking care of business and closing them out and pushing them out and pushing them down for it to happen. And that's a tall task.
Hour number two off and running here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Reminder, hour number two each and every day here during On the Line is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Got a couple of texts as well. Want to hear from you there, 334-784-1067. More local news when we come back. We had thoughts on this in the first hour. Want to wrap and get back to this when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, we got off and running there in hour number two and talking Auburn football recruiting and really talking the landscape of how SEC recruiting has changed so much in just the past couple of years with coaching changes and landscape changes and outlook change, all sorts of things. And so that was a lot of fun. Got a text on our On the Line text box. You can get in on that as well, 334-784-1067. Going back to our number one, our friend Billy and Beauregard says, tell your Georgia buddy, I assume he is referring to Jordan Hill.
He's not talking about me.
You can be my Georgia buddy if you want to.
I'll be all right.
Says, tell your Georgia buddy that I hope they never win another game in any sport.
Yeah. I mean, tell us how you really feel, BB.
Billy from Beauregard. Appreciate you texting in. So if you ever forget the hatred that Auburn fans have for that team across or that team next door, there you go. That Billy is a perfect representation of most Auburn fans. I would say, what, maybe more older school Auburn fans? Is that right, Uncle T?
What are you saying?
I'm saying people that grew up 80s, 90s, early 2000s of Auburn fans.
Have a complete disdain for Georgia, especially football?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I think a lot of old school Auburn fans remember the times when Auburn and Georgia was a pretty decent rivalry.
We had a conversation like this back in football season, did we not? It may have been Georgia week.
Where it was more family getting together instead of the football rivalry for me went south in 07 when they Soulja Boyed us over there in Athens. They claim it went south when Nick Fairley went Andre the Giant on all them in 2010.
Yeah.
I think just what really put Georgia fans over the top in that rivalry is when Auburn won a national championship in 2010 and they hadn't won one.
I think that is too.
And,
yeah.
But hey, you know, they've done very well since then and have nothing to worry about that right now with Auburn. I'll say this, what I saw we had this conversation, it was after the Georgia Auburn game last year where Auburn took Georgia to the mat, and you could tell when Kirby Smart and Hugh Freeze met at center field and shook hands that there was a ton of mutual respect, and Kirby Smart had nothing but very respectful things to say about Coach Freeze.
Absolutely.
And what Auburn was doing, and acknowledged the fact that, hey, this is an Auburn program that's fighting its way back.
Auburn could have won that game.
They definitely could have won that game. I'm not going to say they should have, but they could have. Did we get another couple of texts saying that Auburn has played Duke in Cameron Arena before?
Well, we'll talk some more about the SEC-ACC challenge coming up, but this is actually from Marlene's press release, the SID for Auburn basketball.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I didn't know this. Auburn, who is making a trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium coming up this year in 2024, they have played at Duke back in 1975 and in 1981. So there you go. It'll be the third trip for Auburn to Cameron Indoor Stadium, a place that is, again, historic, right? It's a top five college basketball venue.
49 years old and had no clue that we had played Duke in my lifetime ever. Outside of a neutral site game when they did in 2018 in the Maui Invitational. But
that
I will say, which was a great game that Auburn should have won.
That was the Zion Williamson Duke team, too. That Auburn
is that the,
took
the game
the
where he blew his tennis shoe out?
Was it that game?
I think it was.
That was a crazy scene.
That was nuts. But I will say this. I did not know Duke and Auburn have played in regular season basketball before, but I do know that late 1970s Auburn basketball was even worse than late 1970s Auburn football.
Ooh, man.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. That's a – woo! Okay.
Woo! So let me get that off my chest. So, yeah, yeah, I had forgotten those glory years in Auburn basketball. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it's exciting that Auburn's going to be doing that. And the fact that Auburn – and you said this earlier, and I think you put it perfectly. The SEC and it's schools below it now. And here's what's cool too, right? Every single SEC team, all 16 of them will be competing in this, right? They're going to be competing in this. And if you remember, the SEC Big 12 Challenge, not every SEC team competed.
Right.
Like, I think the bottom two, maybe, didn't compete in that challenge every year, and it kind of was on a rotation or whatever the case may be.
I kind of feel like Auburn got left out one year.
A couple of times. And you know, you always had the Kansas, Kentucky, and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, the Big 12 is such a better basketball conference than the ACC, but if you don't recall, the ACC looks a little different this year. California.
Stanford.
And SMU.
Yeah, I went through and counted. It is 17 teams.
In the ACC coming up.
How can that be, though? Because Stanford and SMU are left out. SMU does not officially join the ACC until July 1st. I did read that.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Kentucky, do you think in any world where Cal had stayed at UK that they would have got the matchup that they got having to go to Clemson?
My Kentucky buddies are not happy, man. And
wow.
The few Kentucky media people, they said,
Big Blue, what has happened in Lexington?
They're not excited about that game. Which, look, Clemson's coming off one of their better years in basketball.
Look, I'm not trying to disparage Clemson, but they are not a blue blood by any means, and Kentucky is.
Thank goodness our GM Steve Witten's out of town, huh? Don't let him hear that.
Thank goodness he's out of state.
We'll talk some more college basketball, plus some more local news as well. When we come back, we got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, Texas as well. That number is 334-784-1067. 30 more minutes after this.
With Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goertz. He is Uncle T-Bone. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Text us as well. That is 334-784-1067. Well, we got a few more things to get to. We talked about it in the first hour, but for those folks who are just now getting in the car, driving around, tuning in the second hour, the SEC-ACC Challenge matchups have been released for college basketball, and the highlight is Auburn making a trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium the first time since 1981. They played there in 81 and also played there in 1975. And so it's been a long time since Auburn's made that trip over to Durham, North Carolina. But playing in one of the most historic buildings in all of college basketball, and talk about a resume opportunity for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers early on in the season. This game will be late November, early December. I'm hearing December 4th. Is what I'm hearing and seeing for this matchup, but I'll see if I can get 100% confirmation on that. Not too bad, though, as Auburn will be making a trip to play the Blue Devils this season.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's that, you know, Auburn doesn't have anything to prove as a basketball program right now. They can hold their own with anybody, but in the totality of things, going up there and getting a win, that would send a clear message to everyone that everyone knows Bruce Pearl's legit, everybody knows Auburn's legit, but that program, it puts it on a trajectory for quite some time, in my opinion. I mean, this is a big, big opportunity for Auburn to make a once-and-for-all program statement.
So,
and that kind of win and the momentum it can generate heading into league play, That's the kind of win that gets you up there in a 2-1-2 seed, buddy.
Absolutely. And so, according to John Rothstein in his article about the SEC-ACC Challenge, it will be played on a Tuesday-Wednesday again, and it will be in early December. Here are the games that will be played on Tuesday, December 3rd. Arkansas at Miami. Cal at Missouri, yes, California. Florida State at LSU, that's a sneaky good one. I like that. That's a big. Those are two big logos, right?
Those two teams have some history in a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm. And LSU's got to find a way to get back to some relevancy in college basketball. Georgia Tech will go to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Kentucky at Clemson, you mentioned that. I mean, it's cool. That'll be a big game for Clemson. Will it be a big game for Kentucky with a new head coach and Mark Pope? I don't know. We're going to have to see. That's a brand new looking Kentucky
squad.
You
don't know what they're going to look like.
They got a bunch of talent. He's brought in some dudes, but you have no idea what they
will. I think he's a good coach, and they're just hopefully Kentucky fans in the Big Blue will give him enough time to get going.
Yeah, they're real
They're patient.
Yeah, that's what they say. Same thing at Tuscaloosa, right?
We talked about Notre Dame and Georgia, Ole Miss at Louisville, South Carolina at BC. Other than Cal and Mizzou so far, I can't see a worse matchup. Syracuse at Tennessee is interesting.
I like that one. I like that. That's two historic basketball programs. They're not at the blue blood level, but they're two programs that you always respect. And any team that plays those two teams, you pay attention when those two play. And so excited to see them get together. Two different shades of orange. That'll be an ugly game there in Knoxville.
Wake at Texas A&M. Alabama at North Carolina.
Starting with that one, that's on the Wednesday, December 4th.
That's a premier matchup, along with Auburn at Duke. Pitt at Mississippi State.
Snore.
Texas at NC State.
I like that one. I like that one. That NC State, man.
Going to Tobacco Road.
Hey, they get crazy over there. Yeah, they get crazy. Texas representing the SEC for the first time.
Vandy at Virginia Tech. Brutal.
Snore.
And Virginia at Florida.
Snore.
Yeah, that just doesn't move the needle for me. I don't know what's
going
on.
I think Florida beats them by 15.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. God, I hope so. Virginia's just such a boring brand, man. It's such a boring brand.
I like Todd Golden, too.
I do, too. I think there ain't no secret about that. We love that guy. Yeah. He can absolutely
He's one of us, Jacob.
He is.
Along with Dayton and Presbyterian College.
He's good people.
He's good. He's good people. I like it.
Well, so all those games, Tuesday, December 3rd, and then, again, the two biggest games of the entire challenge are played on the same day, Alabama, North Carolina, and Auburn, and Duke. Please, 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 please make sure that these are separated in times for television and radio.
Wednesday?
That's a Wednesday, December 4th. Yeah.
How are they going to – I mean, they're going to have to back-to-back them.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you would have to put one game at 6 and the other game at 8, right, in Central Time. And hopefully they do. I'm sure it'll get messed up somehow. And I'm sure that they'll play at the exact same time, which is frustrating because even Auburn fans want to watch Alabama, North Carolina, and Alabama fans want to watch Auburn, Duke. Those are phenomenal basketball games.
Yeah, I mean, those are games of the week anytime, and you're going to have them on the same day.
Those are two of the best games of the year.
Hopefully, there's no way that they're not going to worry about putting Auburn and Alabama on TV at the same time. They're worried about putting North Carolina and Duke on the same time. They'll split them up.
That.
I mean, Alabama and Auburn are a heck of a good team, but North Carolina and Duke are a full-blown blue blood brand.
Look at the television and radio ratings when those two teams play. I mean, it's ridiculous. So
they'll have them on ESPN at 6 o'clock and ESPN at 8:15.
Yeah, you better believe. And hopefully they do. Arkansas at Miami is interesting, right? John Calipari with his new Razorbacks team going down and taking on Miami there on the road. I mean, that could be – it could be fun. And excited to see that. Other than that, though, it's just, Ole Miss at Louisville, if Louisville was actually any good, they've just been so bad for so long now, that, which is wild to say, but it's just part of it. And the SEC having all their teams compete, I like that. ACC.
Didn't Louisville try and hire Chris Beard away from Ole Miss?
I mean, they've tried to hire everybody. They wanted Bruce Pearl. Remember, Bruce Pearl's name floated around there for a while. They've tried to hire anybody. They've been so bad.
Wasn't he like a serious contender for that? Didn't they just get a new coach at Louisville? And Chris Beard was at the top of their list? Like, seriously? Like, people thought for a hot second he was going there?
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, why would you not, though? Why would you not go after Chris Beard? He's a heck of a coach.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment on that. But, yeah, he is a good coach. There's no doubt about it.
Well, they did. Pat Kelsey is their new head coach. They just hired him a couple of months ago for Louisville.
Where was he?
That I cannot remember. Remember, they replaced Kenny Payne, who was just...
Kenny Painful.
Kenny.
I would say the Arkansas-Miami matchup is interesting, obviously because of Cal. What do you think they're gonna? What do you think that they're honestly gonna look like? Because
who, Arkansas?
Because I know he's gonna bring in a ton of talent.
Oh, he's brought all the talent from Kentucky. It's now the Kentucky of Arkansas.
But,
like it's the University of Kentucky, Arkansas.
If you couldn't get it done recently at Kentucky with all of that talent and all the support and all those facilities, and Arkansas is a big-time program too.
I was going to say, what are you trying to say about Arkansas?
But
there,
if you
Arkansas?
Couldn't get it done at Kentucky, you really think and you're going to bet he's going to get it done at Arkansas?
Arkansas fans are convinced. They're convinced, but I'm with you. I mean,
he kind of looked like dead man walking to me when he walked into that press conference where he was announcing that he was coming to Arkansas.
I couldn't believe when that broke. That was the night before the Masters begun. I was in Augusta with my dad, and that news broke at like 11:30 at night. And we're like, what in the world is going on? I stayed up 2 extra hours, more than I needed to, before going to the Masters. I mean, just insane to – and I have to remind myself that Calipari's at Arkansas because it's just so new, right? It's something that is so different. And watching him walk around – and a bright red pullover just looks a little odd, right? It just looks weird. But
65 years old now, John Calipari. The clock is beginning to tick.
I think that's fair.
I think it's fair also. You know, he's in good shape now for a 65-year-old man. And I'm not going to be any kind of ageist because look at just what Nick Saban did at his age. Unbelievable.
And look at some of the older coaches in college
and
basketball.
And basketball's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. You can get some older dudes, definitely, than coach for a long time. But, man, you know, in today's world, it just seems like everything's beginning to change over in these big-time sports, and these coaches are getting younger and younger.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, excited for the SEC challenge, the SEC-ACC challenge that'll be played this year. Auburn will be on the road at Duke for that. That'll be December 4th on that Wednesday. I want to talk a little bit some more about the Super 7 that we were talking
Absolutely.
About earlier. Because this is big news in terms of high school football. And think about high school football just in this area, right? You have Auburn High, you have Opelika High, and in terms of the AHSAA, you now have Lee Scott Academy right here in Auburn, who is moving from the AISA mm-hmm. to the AHSAA in 3A football. So you have three local teams that this affects just in our little vicinity, not to mention across the entire state. And we had Terry call in earlier who raised some really intriguing questions. And I think a lot of questions that people are going to be asking, and if you missed this news from earlier this morning, the Super 7 with the AHSAA has taken out Auburn and Tuscaloosa. I guess Auburn, Opelika, and Tuscaloosa. Those cities have been removed from the rotation. They will no longer be playing those Super 7 state championship football games for high school in Tuscaloosa at Bryant-Denny or in Auburn, Opelika at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And the reason, which it makes sense.
It does.
Is because of the expanded college football playoff. And the reason that that is an impact and has an impact is with the new expanded college football playoff, in the first round of that playoff, those teams host those games on campus, which, side note, that's awesome. That is fantastic. I'm very excited to watch college football playoff games be held on college campuses. That should have been happening a long time ago. But now it's the same week, that first week of December,
right,
as the Super 7. And so the AHSAA did not want to get in a situation where Auburn or Alabama are in the first round of the college football playoff, hosting it at Bryant-Denny or at Jordan-Hare, and you're also scheduled to play 7 state championship games along with some of the flag football games, because you know what's going to happen. Auburn or Alabama says, sorry, Super 7, we're playing in the playoff. We can't have you here this year.
Yeah, and you can't manipulate the schedule also where, say, one of those teams is hosting the first round of the college football playoff game in Bryant-Denny at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and you have, like, the Super 7 the week before. you know, and all of a sudden the field is just chewed up like bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
And you're maxed out. I mean, if you get to host, especially early on in one of the in the college football playoff, maybe like this very first year or second year, one of these games at home, that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And it's going to be a boondoggle for the local economy. Much more so than the AHSAA Super 7, which is very painful to lose. It looks like for now that those games are going to stay up at Protective Life Stadium in Birmingham. I like that stadium. I've been to the Super 7 up there, and it's exciting. It's a nice stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a much better area than where Legion Field was over in West Alabama, where you got some homeless guy making you pay $20 while he's waving a dirty sock into a backyard to get you in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a rough area.
But
these other cities are about to step up. The Mobile Sports Authority has already come out and said, we want in.
And the AHSAA claimed in their release this morning that they are looking at other sites to add to the rotation.
Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile seems like a pretty good rotation to me. You just can't leave it up in Birmingham for the next 25 years like you did previously before you started switching it back and forth between Auburn and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a second. Uh-oh, okay, Jacob?
Get off my lawn. Here it comes.
Because I am tired.
Oh, here it comes.
Sick and tired of the SEC championship in football always being in Atlanta. This is a massive, big conference now.
Where should it be?
With some incredible cities around the entire South, even moving above the Mason-Dixon line. I don't know. Dallas, St. Louis, Houston, Tampa, Miami, New Orleans. I mean, there's a bunch of wonderful – there's a great, big, beautiful South, and we got to go to Hotlanta for the Mercedes-Benz every single year. Come on, man. Come on, Greg. Come on, Commish. Let's think outside the box a little bit here, Mr. Commissioner, and maybe move that game around to some other cool cities like Nashville.
Are you not just are you saying that from an Auburn perspective where Auburn can't ever get up and play inside a Mercedes-Benz? Or are you having a little
neutral
here?
It's a huge advantage when Auburn gets back, if they ever do, to Atlanta, because it's just right up the road and there's going to be a pile of Auburn fans in there, and most of the time they're going to dominate the stadium unless Georgia's there or Alabama's there in close proximity. So I'm just saying that I'd like to go see if, you know, go to a game in Nashville. I'd like to go to a game, an SEC championship in Tampa or Orlando or Jacksonville. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me that they get to go to Atlanta every single season.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about SEC economies, why not just move it to an SEC stadium? Why not just start circulating around?
Not a bad idea, except for
there's
depending on what
them.
Time of year it is. I know inside the dome, right, it's early December. Do I want to go up to Como in early December and play an SEC championship game?
Yeah, and, I mean, you think about the other ones, too. Well, I mean, the Big Ten plays in Indianapolis. They play it. They play inside the arena, the dome there,
right,
at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Big 12 plays in Texas. I forget, is it Arlington or something? I forget where they play for the Big 12. The ACC does – so they do all – I guess that's a good point. They do all play in domes. The Pac-12, RIP, that played in Las Vegas. I guess that makes sense.
I think that show should go on the road now. I mean, if we've expanded the conference like we have, let's expand the venues where they play the SEC championship game. And I know the purists.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Uncle T, it's, I mean, it, when they moved it out of Birmingham, they moved it to Atlanta. I don't think you can be moving it around now.
Well, they've started moving the SEC basketball tournament, which I never
Good
thought.
Point.
I never thought it should have been moved out of Nashville. I think Nashville is a perfect location for that.
I mean, I just like a little variety in my life,
yeah,
Jacob. I don't need to go to Atlanta every single time there's an SEC championship game. Can we go to New Orleans?
I mean,
that would be a lot of fun.
You go play at the Superdome.
Can we go to Houston? Can we go to Jerry World?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other stadiums out there and venues in great cities in the South, I'm not sure why Atlanta gets it every single year.
If SEC Media Days can be in Dallas, why not the SEC Football Championship? How about that?
Now we're talking.
How about that?
Goins.
Before we get to break, let me remind you that coming up this Friday, ESPN 106.7. Look, if you enjoyed what you've heard here today, okay, be sure you hang around. We got some timeshare information. No, I'm just kidding. Coming up this Friday, ESPN 106.7, we're going to be live at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek Road. Yep, that's out there by the interstate. As ESPN 106.7 will be live on location, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. On the line in the drive, we'll be live outside on the patio at Moe's from 2 to 6 p.m. Moe's will have $3 bushwhackers from 4 to 9 and live music coming up at 8:30 that night when everybody is done. We'll be covering the U.S. Open Golf Tournament, which starts tomorrow, along with the biggest news in Auburn athletics. Come out and be a part of the fun with ESPN 106.7 at the Bent Creek location of Moe's Original Barbecue in Auburn this Friday. That's 2 days from now, from 2 to 6 p.m., brought to you by Sensegreen Heating and Air. For air that's cool and clean, you better call Sensegreen. That's coming up on Friday. Really excited for that. Come out and join us from 2 to 4. Bill and Dan from 4 to 6 will probably be there a little bit later than that as well. So come out and join us on Friday. Let's take our final break. We'll come back, wrap up the Wednesday edition of the show after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Man, that's been a fun show today. We've had a lot of fun and talked about a lot of different topics. Auburn basketball, Auburn football, Super 7, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, tons of other things as well. If you missed any of the show, you can find the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacob, we got the U.S. Open tomorrow before we get off the show.
Yes, because you won't be back till Friday, so it'll be underway.
Yeah,
by
we'll
the time
be talking live at Moe's Bent Creek. That'll be so much fun. I cannot wait. $3 bushwhacker. Look, everyone's going to pick Xander, the 114 tee time, Rory, Scotty, Xander. Everyone's going to be in that boat.
What a stack.
Give me a name that's not a big time name, and I'm going to give you one.
Go ahead.
All right. That is has a shot to get up there and contend in this U.S. Open. If you've been paying attention at Pinehurst number 2, that course is brutal hard. Mm-hmm. You've got to hit greens there. You got to hit the middle of the greens.
I was about to say, hitting the greens not even good enough. You've got to hit the middle of it just to have a chance.
And I'm looking over at the PGAtour.com greens and regulations. I found a name I'm going to roll with as my dark horse for the U.S. Open at 400-1. Give me some Daniel Berger.
Whoa.
The Berger Man.
What a name. You pulled that one out of right field. I haven't heard that name
in
a
hot
minute.
Daniel Berger, 400-1. This guy hits greens, and he hits them a lot. He's in the top 10 on tour in them, and I think it's time for him to make a move.
Okay. All right, so that's your long shot to what? Win or at least be in contention?
Well, I mean, he's my long shot to win, obviously. Okay. 400 to win. I mean, you know, 400 to 1. You know, obviously I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler. He's got the best short game on tour.
My long shot to win. Oh, God, I don't know. You know what? Just for the fans, just for the storylines, give me Ricky Fowler to win. Why? I have literally no reason. Absolutely none. But Ricky Fowler just because, to get that major in the bag. Huh?
Speaking of burgers, Phil Mickelson's going to have to get off the Zen Brick. He needs a burger. He looks terrible out there.
Oh, God. All right, we got to get out of here. Ricky Fowler, my long shot for the U.S. Open. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Chris Gordy will join us tomorrow as well. You'll be back on Friday, Uncle T-Bone, for Moe's live remote. Looking forward to that. Tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. We got to go. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.